Hello and welcome to Dirty Lazy Girl, a podcast that offers realistic girlfriend support and problem solving for imperfect people like me. I'm Stephanie Laska, author and creator of Dirty Lazy Keto. I lost 140 pounds by breaking all the rules and becoming a weight loss rebel.
And I'm Tamara Snezik, a professor of sociology, Stephanie's co-host, and her Dirty Lazy Girl partner in crime. Every week, we'll tackle a potential obstacle in your way with unconventional, dirty, or lazy problem-solving strategies. Let's get you started.
It's season three of the Dirty Lazy Girl podcast, and today's obstacle is avoiding unrealistic goals.
Ooh, upcoming wedding, vacation. Ooh, maybe it's a class reunion. Must be time to lose 50 pounds like overnight then, right? Hey, how many times have you heard this or read this or thought this? Because hey, one time or another, we're all going down those paths. We've all been there. We've all tried those unrealistic goals for ourselves and heard other people do them. It's kind of funny though, when you think about it. Yeah. But you know what? The truth is, setting unrealistic goals for ourselves, it really does set ourselves up for failure and disappointment. So we need to really look at this and be honest with ourselves and find another way.
We do. And because I've had my moments where I set unrealistic goals and I don't really realize at the time they're unrealistic. Like my big one is saying I'm going to quit coffee. Why? Why do I do this? Because I just fail. So I'm really excited today to talk about this. And we're going to have six common goal setting mistakes that make your goals unrealistic and how to avoid them. But first, Stephanie, a quick break.
Well, listeners, if cutting back on eating out is one of your goals, let me suggest that instead of trying to cut out eating out altogether, just try to set the bar low. So instead of turning your life completely upside down, which we know would be setting yourself up for failure, I recommend trying to perhaps learn to make one or two recipes a week. So for all those people out there listening that hate to cook, because you're not alone, you will love the quick fix recipes in the Dirty Lazy Keto No Time to Cook cookbook. These are weight loss keto recipes that can be made in 30 minutes or less. Pick up your copy today at Costco, Target, Sam's Club, Barnes & Noble, wherever you like to shop for books. Of course, you can even order it on Amazon.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Oh, you're welcome.
So let's go through our six unrealistic goal setting mistakes and how to avoid them. And I'll start with number one, which is expecting miracles.
Expecting a miracle.
I mean, it's exactly what you said before. Like, I'm going to lose 50 pounds before my class reunion in 2 weeks.
Or my wedding next month, or my whatever.
Yeah. And it's not just weight loss. It could be like, I'm going to write a book and I'm going to do it in a month. I mean, so how do we know if we've set a goal like just too far out there and it's a miracle? What do we do? Like, how do we avoid this?
Well, it's really tricky, isn't it? Because I think that we all do it because, you know, we go to fantasy land. I know for myself, there was a long time, Tamara, where after losing 140 pounds, I was thinking that I would go through all these miracle cures to get rid of my loose skin. So I'm going to do a little demonstration of the bingo arms. Here we go. If you're on YouTube, you are seeing the bingo arms in action.
Okay. I do, but you can't see skin.
You can't see it. Should I do it? Let's do it, people.
I was just saying you can't see mine because I'm there with you.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, I've got it everywhere. I'm not just in the skin. I got it in my jowls. I have lots of loose skin on my face. I have it mostly in my, like, I call it my diaper area. It's like the whole, like, under the booty and the menopause apron and that whole diaper of loose skin. So here's the thing, Tamara. For a long time, I thought I would just go down these miracle paths. Like, okay, I'm going to do, I don't know, some kind of weightlifting or run a marathon or do a numerous sit-ups or fasting, intermittent fasting. And then people would give me, you know, suggestions. Oh, you should do collagen. You should do these supplements. Here's the thing. None of those are going to work. You know what you have to do? You stop, expect miracles, and you just learn to embrace the truth and the honesty of where you're at. So for me, that looks like loving my deflated skin every inch of it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
And for me, it's helped to have an expert, somebody who's been through it before or who really knows, who's kind of an expert in that area to help me see my error, you know, to see that. Cause like the example I'm thinking of is I go to this boot camp class, and I was always so discouraged because I wasn't keeping up with the people half my age, you know, I wasn't lifting as much or whatever. And finally the trainer, who is my trusted expert, said, you're being unrealistic. Like, for you, I expect you to be here. And the fact that you're here is amazing. And he really lifted me up and made me set more realistic goals. So I think that's also another helpful tip for this one. Mm-hmm. Trust the experts, find a trusted expert, ask people, hey, am I being realistic? You know, trying to lose 20 pounds or trying to get rid of cellulite that, you know, cause sometimes people who've been there already know that it's just not going to happen.
And that's okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I think embracing the imperfection for mm-hmm. me was, it was like freedom. It helped me to just let go of all that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Okay. What's our number two?
Number two, Tamara, is when the goal post, kind of like in football, the goal post is just too far away. So for, you know, that can be a total description on when a goal might just take too long to reach. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then how is that going to even happen when you're like looking at this huge picture?
It's discouraging. And then you're just going to quit. I mean, I did that with my finances. I want to have this long-term goal of getting certain financial things in order, like our house paid off, our debt paid off, you know, blah, 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 all these different things. And, but the problem with that is that that's so much and it's so far away because I'm still 10 to 15 years away from retirement. And so nothing was getting done. Nothing. Because it was overwhelming.
It was like way too overwhelming.
It was. So finally I was like, okay, just one. So now once a year I do one thing. So last year my goal was to write a will, and I'm proud to say I did my will, and that was easy. I could do it. I did it like in a month. And then this year we want to refinance our home so that we can have it paid off by retirement. Okay. So that's just one thing. Chunk it up. And then that way I'm not overwhelmed and just don't spin my wheels, you know?
I do. Yeah. It sounds like you're doing those baby steps that we're always talking about.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's realistic though, for us to want to accomplish our goal. But right. Like you said, we can't just have the goal post be so far away that it's like a pipe dream.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I like how you broke it up into manageable, doable steps.
Yeah.
I'm procrastinating telling you mine right now. Did you notice? Let's talk girl. More about you because I don't want to tell you my embarrassing one. Did you hear it? Did you hear that in my voice? That's what I was doing. That's funny. I totally caught my BS. Okay. So I'll tell you my goal that is like way so far away. It's like the goalpost that I can't even see. So I have this secret dream. I think I've only told Tamara that I want to have a cooking show, like a real cooking show.
Yeah.
So it's my secret fantasy. I kind of dream about having it like on Netflix, if I'm going to just go ahead and tell you my big secret.
Yeah.
That is so unrealistic for me that goal is so far away. I can't even see it.
Mm-hmm.
So I've realized that, Tamara, it's kind of like you said, oh, I'm going to pay off all my debt in 2 seconds. Well, I need to kind of make some more manageable steps like what you did. Yeah. And so I've started to realize, hey, I'm not going to get disappointed about not getting, you know, a Netflix show tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start making more manageable steps. Like for me, that starts with cleaning my kitchen. Because let's be real, it's really messy right now. Number two, I'm going to release a video every week on YouTube. And I've been doing that. So I'm moving the goalpost closer to try to reach that goal someday. Like, kind of like what you're doing, but more manageable steps.
Yeah. And we're not saying give up on your goal. Like, I think you should still have the dream of having your own show. And I need to have the dream of getting all my finances in perfect order before retirement. It's just, you can't keep that as, you know, you have to have something reachable before leading up to that is what we're saying.
Totally.
Not to give it up. Yeah.
It's like when you run a marathon, it's interesting. They have a mile marker every mile and it says 1 mile, 2 mile, 3 mile.
Yeah.
Cause if you don't see that and feel excited about accomplishing those mini goals before you get to the 26.2, you would totally give up. You'd be like, where the hell is the finish line? You know what I mean? Yeah. You need those little stepping stones to get you to the big picture.
even training for a marathon is one of those too, you know, like you can't just go run 25 miles. It's, you know, mile, 2 miles, and then
baby steps.
Well, another goal setting problem, number three, is that we're too vague about what we want.
Totally vague, right? Like you could be all non-specific, like, oh, I just want to lose weight, or, oh, I want to save money, or I don't know. It's like, that's so vague. What does that even mean?
Yeah.
Does that ever happen to you where you just
totally
say something non-specific? I'm going to give up coffee, or I'm going to. Well, what does that really mean? Like, I've tell me more.
I've done that with weight loss too. Like I will say I want to lose weight, but I'm not saying how much, by when. And so by doing that, like it keeps me from making a plan and staying with a plan. So now since I'm older, I'm like, okay, usually I'll say 1 pound a week. And I know that's really slow, but I feel like that's realistic for me. And then once I say that, that'll motivate me to weigh and keep track, or to start maybe doing a food journal or whatever are the steps I need to do to get really on that goal. But, you know, just saying I want to lose weight never, ever does anything.
No, it's like too vague. It's like, you don't know how to get there. It's just this random thing.
Yeah.
One of mine, Tamara, was in this kind of regard, was I needed early on in my journey, I wanted to improve my relationship with the scale. Because for me, that was a real issue. Like my whole life, I had just horrible memories and triggers surrounding getting on the scale. You know what I mean? Like memories in, I don't know, fifth grade, all of us lined up and having to wait in front of the class and stand according to how heavy we were. I mean, I just had these horrible memory. So I wanted to change that relationship. And I set out to do that by not just being like focused on a number on the scale, kind of like we're talking about with weight loss, but I wanted to be more specific with my weight loss goals. Like, okay, well, I'm going to get on the scale and improve my relationship with the scale. And so what I'm going to do is expect to have my weight in a range, like a decade. I used to do like, okay, anything in this decade, you know what I mean? Like the last two digits, then I'd be happy with and be excited about. And for me, that helped me transition from hating the scale to like befriending the scale and getting to know the scale and romancing the scale. Yeah. And then we became more friends. Like, okay, I can do this. Like I like being in this decade. And then after time, you know, moving on to it, the next decade. But that really helped me.
Yeah. I think
more specific, right? Like,
yes, but then not so specific, like by having a range.
Yes.
That's also more realistic.
The range was key. Especially like when I'd be on vacation or going through the holidays, I would say to myself, you know, during the month of December, I'd like to stay in this, you know, two digit range, this decade, and not go above and not go below. And that gave myself comfort room to enjoy the holiday and have a goal like maintenance as opposed to losing during December.
It really worked. That's a great approach, actually. I think with anything, not just weight loss, you know, like I'm going to have, my goal is to have this book written by April, but maybe, you know, mid-April, so that there's a little,
like wiggle room, kind of like comfort.
Good stuff happens. But then at the same time, you want to have something a little bit firm to work towards. So I think that's a great approach.
But either way, it's like being more specific, like in both of our examples, it helps you avoid that unrealistic goal path that is disappointing. Yeah. Because this way you can actually do it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, what's number four?
Number four is something I am super guilty of, and I am victim of number four. I'll just be honest. Yeah. This is where you tackle too many goals at once. Mm-hmm. Way too many. You take them all on and you try to do them all great. And that's unrealistic, right?
Yeah. It sounds great on paper. Oh, I've got this. But it's not. It's
totally
bad.
It doesn't work out. I'm just going to tell you like it is.
Yeah.
I do this all the time, Tamara.
Yeah.
Especially, I'd say like at the very end, when I'm putting the finishing touches on turning in a cookbook, I go through this process, Tamara, where I kind of recook all the ones I had like questions about, or I wasn't sure on the flavor or the instructions. So I will literally cook, you know, like 40, 50 recipes all at once and eat them all because they're delicious. And then I'll expect not to, you know, lose sleep, be nice to my family, have a good marriage, exercise, keep my weight off. I'll try to do all those things while cooking like 40 to 50 recipes all in a weekend.
Yeah.
And that's not realistic. Let me just tell you.
No, it's not. Like my trick for doing that is what helps me is to write down my goals and then take a pen and cross off the ones and say, is this too much? And then just start crossing off. I can do that next year, or, you know, put that off till later. Cause you're right, that then you just get overwhelmed and then stuck. I mean, yeah. I know you and I had talked about doing the 21 for 21, which is setting 21 goals for 2021. It was like a New Year's. I know we were both like, we were starting to talk about it. And then we both had this aha moment. Like, what are we doing?
We're all, that's goals. A really bad idea. I can barely do two goals, let alone 21.
And that's exactly what we did instead. And I was like, so grateful looking back now. I'm like, what a dumb idea.
Yeah, that's way too many people. No more 21 ideas. But like, you know, it's okay to have multiple goals. We're not saying that. But for me in this area of, you know, having too many goals at once, I just need to prioritize.
Right.
It's okay to have a lot of goals, right? Yeah. I mean, you can want to do a lot of great things, but sometimes you have to know going in.
Yeah.
Hey, if I decide to cook 40 recipes all at once, I may not have a social life this weekend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there has to be a give and take. I can't be, you know, friendly and a great mom to the neighbors and go to parties and cook 40 recipes all in one weekend. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
No. And you don't have to be everything at once. I mean,
well, I have trouble with that one.
Well, and our society as women pressures us. I mean, we're supposed to be awesome with the kids and have home cooked meals and be sexy for the hubby. And then a professional woman, like, we feel like we're supposed to do all those things, and it's just ridiculous. I don't know.
Yeah.
And for me, I do the prioritizing thing. And for me, usually the house and cleaning is the last, and that's what goes.
That's where you actually crossed it off the list.
I'm just like, we're going to live in filth for a little while.
See, I respect that about you. I mean, it's just so honest. And I think it's a really great strategy to recommend to our listeners to free yourself by crossing it off. And I will still stress and try to do a little bit for everybody and then feel overwhelmed and then not do a good job and be angry.
Yeah, no, you can't do that. No.
I'm going to listen to you on that one.
Yeah, I know.
Cross it off, Tamara said.
Exactly.
Ain't going to happen. Yeah. Sorry, children.
And our number five is sort of similar. I call them the shoulda, coulda, woulda goals.
I like this one. This one makes me laugh.
I know. That's an expression you use a lot. But these are goals that are you doing just because you think you should? And you may not actually, if you look deep down, really want to.
Mm-hmm.
This is my coffee thing.
Tell me more about the coffee shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Because I always feel like I drink too much coffee and I shouldn't drink coffee and I judge myself. And so then I set this goal of getting off coffee, which never lasts. And I get headaches. I'm grumpy and I hate it. And I just go right back on it. And I think this is one of my shoulda, coulda, woulda moments. Like I'm only doing it because I think I should, but really I don't want to. I don't want to, if I really ask myself, do you want to get off coffee? No. Is it really harming me in my life to the point where, no. So that one I'm going to keep.
And you do that. You cross that one off the list.
I am.
Yeah. Anytime I hear anybody say the word, I should do this or I should do that, I can tell they don't want to do it.
Yeah.
So that's definitely my strategy, is just to listen to that language, because you'll give it away yourself. You'll say, oh, I should eat more vegetables. Oh, I should do this. Oh, I should blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You ain't going to do it if you say I shoulda or coulda or woulda.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Or my doctor thinks I should.
Anybody who thinks you should, you ain't going to do it. No. Let's just be honest. You're not going to, unless you want to do it. You're not going to.
Yeah.
So just honest.
It's with anything. Even, you know, like in AA or in Alcoholics Anonymous, they say, you know, you have to find your own rock bottom. Like you have to come to the point where you want to, and people telling you is just, so it's true of
true about everything. You're never going to save money. You're never going to go back to school. You're never going to improve your marriage. None of that unless you decide you want to do it.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
I think my shoulda, coulda, woulda, Tamara, is before when I was, you know, like in my 20s and I'd go on all these fad diets and lose weight, gain it back, lose weight, gain it back, lose weight. You know, that whole roller coaster back when we were young. I used to think, I don't know why, but I constantly thought that if I lost weight, then my life would be fabulous. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, then I should feel amazing, confident, you know, sexy, attractive, I'd have self-respect, and I would have self-esteem, and I'd be tone. I thought it would all go together. Mm-hmm. It was kind of interesting how that was a mentality I had. And I had to get off that shoulda, coulda, woulda train because it wasn't happening. It's like, mm-hmm. you don't lose weight and then automatically feel assertive and be able to articulate your needs to your family and your spouse. I mean, for me, those were topics I had to work on separately. But it took me a long time to separate those.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, well, just because I lost weight, I should feel self-confident and amazing and attractive. But I don't think self-esteem and weight loss go together. I think they're completely different topics.
And people don't realize that.
No.
No, if I lose weight, I will get self-esteem. And that's not...
Not at all.
True? No?
No, it's not true at all.
And that's why your goal should be to work on your self-esteem as you go. And it feels weird to people, like, well, why should I accept the body I'm in? I'm trying to change the body I'm in. But that's right. All part of...
It's part of the process.
Yeah. Loving yourself is so important, regardless of the goal you have or where you're at. And yeah, but it's hard. It's hard. Our culture, again, tells us, like, oh, well, if you're skinny, life is happy and everything will be perfect.
Right.
Not gonna happen.
Well, I don't know if I want to say it's hard. It's just something to acknowledge. Like, it's, yeah. it's the fact. I don't think they can go together. I mean, I could talk about this one, obviously, yeah. at length. But like number one or whatever we shared, and I talked about my flabby skin and I'm shaking it around. Like, honestly, if I didn't embrace my skin as part of my journey and like love my skin where I'm at today, I would end up gaining my weight back because you wouldn't feel good about yourself. I wouldn't put on a swimsuit and be able to, you know, go out to the pool if I didn't love the like crazy amount of loose skin I have all over my body. You can't have it both ways.
Right.
In my opinion. So for me, that was critical for me to get off that weight loss roller coaster, to love who I am and love every part of the process, no matter what I weigh.
Yeah. Because life's too short also.
Life is too short.
Yeah.
And that's a whole nother serious topic to just realize. It can end at any second.
Yeah. So find, like, maybe that's part of your goal setting mindset, you know, is what's going to make you happy now? You know, and in the, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Getting to the goal needs to be a happy thing.
It does.
Not just you're achieving the goal, but getting there.
It's the journey, not the destination. Ooh.
And that's really kind of leads us to our last one, number six, is negative goals.
Because negative goals.
If you have a positive goal, it makes you happy along the journey because you're working towards these wonderful positive things. Like, and what I mean by negative goals is like,
yeah, tell me more about that.
Yeah. I'm a bad person because I drink too much coffee. I need to change that. Or I'm super fat and ugly and I need to lose weight to then I can be beautiful. And instead of framing it as I have to take away this bad thing about myself, I would say, no, you know, how am I going to, feel better and be happier and maybe eat healthier instead of I'm going to lose 200 pounds, right? You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying you can't have those goals, but maybe have the goals, but frame it in a positive way that keeps the journey beautiful and wonderful and in a positive mindset.
Yeah, I like what you're saying there. It's like you're avoiding goals that are focused on getting rid of a bad habit. Right. Instead, you're focusing on framing it around a positive habit.
Right, right, right.
Powerful.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have an example of that?
Well, like the eating thing, I'm probably better when I say my goal is to eat healthier and be healthier. And that way I'm not just restricting. I'm because like you can still lose weight and eat a processed junk food. You can, right? You just don't eat as much of it. And I don't want to just restrict. I want to make good, healthy choices that make me eat food that makes me feel good. So if I frame it as eating healthier, like I'm going to live a healthier lifestyle, then I make better choices that make me feel better. Like, okay, I'm eating my vegetables, not just because it's going to take pounds away, but because it's going to make me feel really good. It's going to hydrate me. It's going to give me vitamins. So that's the mindset I try to use with dieting, basically.
I like that. It's a total different way to look at things.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about just an example from my own life where I felt that way about eating donuts and junk food before or after, or something to do with running. Because for me, I found myself eating those foods that tasted really good, but they physically just made me feel really disgusting and gross, to be honest.
Yeah.
And it became this dirty secret that I felt really ashamed about, where even though I had lost a bunch of weight, I was sneaking like these little junk food items and, you know, calling it cheat days don't matter and things like that. For me, I had to, like what you said, Tamara, is completely change the way I looked at my exercise and junk food in general, like the sugary, garbagey junk food, like donuts. And my challenge, Tamara, is what I, this was not easy to do, but I really worked at thinking I can run and I can exercise and I can feel motivated to run and exercise without junk food at all.
I
had to just completely stop running marathons for a while, stop running races, and just really focus on that and just say, I like running. My body's amazing that I can run. I don't need to eat a donut to run or as a reward or any of that garbage, and just get rid of that whole cheat day mentality. Cause for me, it wasn't working. I had to let go of that.
Yeah, exactly. And by focusing on foods that you love, but that are still healthy and good for you, just get to that. Like, what am I going to eat that makes me feel really
Good. Like, I'm going to exercise and be fueled in a way that made me feel proud of myself at the end of the exercise or before the exercise. I didn't want it to be tied with garbage. I needed to let that go.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I'm curious what strategies our listeners use to avoid goal setting mistakes like the ones we've talked about. So email us at Stephanie@dirtylazyketo.com or through Facebook or Instagram at Dirty Lazy Keto. If your comment is read on the air during season 3, contact Stephanie to receive a prize. Now, before we get to our final hacks, let's take a quick break.
All right, friends, if setting realistic goals is a challenge for you and some of these topics we're bringing up are making you think a little bit more, I want to urge you to check back to chapter 2 of your book if you have Dirty Lazy Keto, Get Started Losing Weight While Breaking the Rules. And in chapter 2, I really go into these topics like a deep dive. And some of them are funny. You know, I talk about gymnastics and the scale, what I call the Butta Eustis syndrome, the girl stop your lion, and also how to celebrate and not sabotage your success. So this is a USA Today bestseller. It's available in paperback, ebook, or you can even listen to the book on audio format, which I read. And links to order are available at dirtylazyketo.com.
Thank you, Stephanie. So let's wrap up our episode by sharing our favorite hacks around monitoring unrealistic expectations.
I like that, monitoring unrealistic expectations, because we have to watch out. It's easy for us to just sneak these in. So I think I've talked about this many times, but it's worth bringing up again. You guys know that I love to set the bar low. Now I aim high, but I set my bar low. But the trick is when I set the bar low, I have to be very honest and satisfied with achieving that low bar. It's not like you can, you know, trick yourself. You have to embrace the low goal. You have to love the low goal. So I tell myself like, okay, I'm going to go out for a walk today. I'm going to, you know, go out for a walk for 10 minutes. I have to be okay to come home in 10 minutes and get back to bed. Most of the time that doesn't happen. I'll keep going. But if I did want to stop at 10 minutes, that has to be okay. So that's an example of what I mean by embracing the low goal. You don't beat yourself up. You accept doing the minimum if that's what it takes. And for me, that really works.
Yeah, that's a great one. And mine also is maybe will help you set the bar low and embrace it is to know your why. And mine also, we've said a million times before, know your why. Like, you know, this is going to help you avoid the mistake of just doing something because you should have, would have, should have, you know? So just take the time to say, why am I doing this? Like, am I doing this to please other people? And am I doing it to myself? What is it that I really, really, really want? And then set your goal around that.
Well, listeners, setting unrealistic goals, we hope that you got the big picture here, but it is demoralizing and it's unproductive. We end up not accomplishing anything, and worse, we end up feeling terrible about ourselves. So to avoid going down this path of setting unrealistic goals in the first place, we hope that you've learned from some of our watch out strategies shared today. And you can always go back to, I believe it was the first episode of season 3, where we talked about goal setting in particular.
Yeah. And are you enjoying the Dirty Lazy Girl podcast? Show your support by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you're listening on YouTube, give us a thumbs up, leave a comment, and subscribe to our channel.
We love reading your comments and reviews. And in fact, I have a review on Apple Podcasts to read today from Heather E. And Heather shares 5 stars, best podcast, hands down. I love listening to your podcast. Each episode is informative and entertaining. I listen to each episode while driving or working out. Thank you for all your tips for doing keto our way. You're welcome, Heather.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, please tell a friend. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen to podcasts.
For more information about what we talked about today, or just to get in touch, visit dirtylazyketo.com. See you next week.